Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, boys and girls, once again to the Bass Kayak and Beers podcast on the Paddle and Fin Network. It's your boy Armando and co-host Daniel or Perry. How are you doing, Danny?
Good, man. What's going on, dude?
Not much, man. Trying to keep up with all the fishing that's going on.
Yeah, for real.
What about you?
Yeah, same. Just new job, working, blah, blah, blah. Life.
How's your new job treating you?
Yeah, it's first week's going great so far. I went to Okeechobee last weekend with the KFL and start a new job this week, so it's been a whirlwind of excitement.
All groovy.
Yeah.
It's cool, man. So today on this episode, what we're going to be, me and Dan, there's no special guests. It's just going to be me and Dan. We'll kind of take a break from all the special guests and all that and talk a little bit about fall weather, fall transition weather. We're going to be talking about what's our favorite baits that we like to throw on this on this season, you know, early fall, late fall. We also wanted to have Brad Hicks and Matt Souders join us from the final cast. They're both river rats, but both of them are actually fishing on the river today. But they did give us a little bit of insight, and we'll go over what they shared with us. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Before we dive in, huge thank you to our supporters, Douglas Rods. Go to douglasoutdoors.com. Check out the full lineup, LRS, X-Matrix, and the award-winning fly fishing rods, douglasoutdoors.com. Find out what's your nearest authorized dealer. Or not, you can buy them online. Bass Pro Shop is selling them too now online.
Really? So there you go. They've been, seems like, more and more places are they're getting branching out.
Yeah, man, they're pretty new to the game, but they're really growing. I mean, and their rod designer, Fred Contai, is just the mad scientist when it comes to designing rods, and he's very, very meticulous about design rod designs and all that. So pretty fortunate to be working with that company for sure. Nice rods. So anyways, before we dive into that, I don't know, let's see, anything else, anything that we can highlight? Oh, I saw Christine Fisher's latest video. Have you seen it where she falls out of her kayak full speed? No. And that thing just keeps going.
No, I just saw it was saved to a group, but I didn't look at it.
That is hilarious. So I guess they were playing like frisbee while they were doing full throttle on their torpedoes, and she kind of reached out to grab the disc and nearly caught it. Kayak kind of tilted, and she took that business decision of like, yep, jump out of the kayak.
Why is she staying up whenever the motor's running? Come on.
Yeah, I think almost ran over her.
Old Pilates. I mean, she's got some balance, but come on, you can't do that.
That is crazy. That's a fun video. Fun.
I know I'm supposed to wear my kill switch, but I don't wear it. But the, you know, I'm sure it's illegal or whatever, but I'm not standing up, but. I also don't walk up to the front of my kayak either. I don't have that kind of balance. So
I remember Fluke Master Gene Jensen posted one last year where he was fishing in Caddo. And
yeah,
the same thing. He was pre-fishing for the national championship, and he hit a stump and he fell off. And he didn't, I don't think he had a kill switch either, but his was a front mount. So he was able to hang on to his kayak. But I was like, dude, You imagine like gator infested waters. You fall in and that, and your kayak keeps going. Now you have to like swim to try to get. No, that would be a nightmare.
Yeah. I probably, Okeechobee, I probably should have had that mode. Thinking of it now, I should have had that kill switch on because there was a hell of a lot of gators down there.
No, yeah.
I might have to start wearing it more.
There you go. Anyways, so let's jump right in. Let's, we forgot. We're going to go to a quick Waypoints commercial. So, Brian Chiller, do your thing. This is where the Waypoint commercials go. And then we'll start over with our subject.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're back. That only took a second for us, maybe like 60 minutes or 90 minutes for everybody else. But anyways, let's do our top three favorite fall baits. And like I mentioned in the intro, we also go over what our river rats, Matt Souders and Brad Hicks like to throw on the river. But for us, we're mostly lake guys, lake rats, if you want to call it. What's your number three bait?
Let me see what I got as number three here. Number three, I have a lipless crank, which I think is for me in the fall, I'm completely selling out. I'm going 100% off of a bait fish bite. So that's, if you have shad or any kind of bait fish like that, in the summer, I primarily target deeper stuff and brim beds. So brims would be the main forage I'd target, you know, that I'm trying to imitate. And then as the fall happens, I'm trying to imitate a shad, some kind of small bait fish. Now, a lot of times it's the ones this year. So it's really a lot of times it's going to be a smaller bait fish profile. Works even better because sometimes there'll be so many big schools of shad that it's hard to compete with them. So for me, a lipless crank, and that's primarily going to shallow flats. You know, this time of year, the fish, a lot of them go from main lake and they start to go back into the creeks, and that either the first ledge or a creek drain going up into a flat, just like you would in the pre-spawn, and that, you know, any kind of hard spot, stump, anything else on a flat, on a shallow flat, not all the way, 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 way back, but any shallow flat. Yeah. That's a lipless crank is just absolutely killer, and whenever you can find them schooled up this time of the starting into the fall, they can just be absolutely lights out. My number one color in the fall, for some reason, I don't know why, would be gold. I can't tell you why, but gold.
Yeah, I'm gonna touch on that a little bit on my number one bait, but yeah, my number three bait is an A rig. I like to throw an A rig because that's, you know, and again, this is Texas, so once water starts cooling down, we get a little bit more rain, usually like Texas, like this year, especially considering this year where it's been like so hot and no rain at all. You know, once it starts cooling off, I mean, in my opinion, I think those bass are going to be really hungry, and they're going to be really like, they really want to go out there and feed and munch up on a school of bait fish. So I'm throwing an A rig. And same thing, I'm working it on points and transition areas where, you know, shad are going to be start, you know, moving up, and bass are going to be following them, coming from the deep and follow them to shore as the season goes on, the transition goes on, the water starts to cool, we get a little bit more rain. That's where I really, at the beginning, like to throw you know, Chad patterns A rigs, and just same thing, putting effort on the offshore points and the transition points moving into creeks. I think that's, it's key. It's worked for me in the past. It's not my number one bait, but it's definitely something that I'm going to have tied on all the time until, you know, water gets really, really cold.
That's a good one. I usually don't know, for some reason I keep one in the box, but I can build one out if I think that's the deal, but I never go out with one tied on. It would be one I put together if I think it's just, if that's happening, you know, but that's a great bait for sure.
Yeah, it's a great bait, and it's a great search bait too. You know, it's schooling, you know, it's a lot of good way to kind of like cover a lot of ground.
Yeah. And that's another big point in the fall is it's one of those times of year where they're absolutely grouped up. So you have to cover a lot of water. You're looking for any kind of place. A lot of times it's going to be some place where they can ambush the fish, or they can bunch them up, any kind of little cul-de-sac or anything where they look like they can herd up some shad or something like that. That's a great spot. And if you catch one, keep throwing and spend some time there, because it's usually not just one. The fall is a time of the year where it's usually multiple. You can get right real quick in an area.
Yep. They're more, like you said, more bunched up. What's your number two bait?
Spook Junior. So any kind of point, secondary points, anything, and even just anytime you see them bust them on top, you got to have a top water, whether it's, you know, like a shower blows or anything else. But again, I'm usually trying to look like a little bit smaller forage in the fall. So I go with a Spook Junior. I replace the hooks. There's a lot of other great ones out there. That's just one, just regular super Zara, super Spook Junior, and would replace hooks. That's I've got that tied on anytime in the fall.
Yeah, that's a good one. I've actually, on cold weather days, especially and when it's sunny, spooks have really shine on that, because they, you know, it's, even though the water may be cold, they're moving up shallow when it's the sun is high, and they're kind of like looking for that warm water. And spooks have worked really well for me as well. Number two, I was actually going to go with the lipless crankbait, but you already mentioned it, so I don't want to be redundant. But I'll throw in another one that I like to use on fall, and that is my jerkbait. I love throwing the jerkbait. For whatever reason, when I started fishing out of a kayak, I just fell in love with the idea of using the jerkbait. Don't ask me why, because it's probably one of the hardest baits to kind of like really dial in how you're going to use it. You know, it's, you know, the twitch and in adjusted for different seasons, you know. But I really enjoyed it, and I loved that jerkbait bite. And what I like to do is kind of same thing. I'll go into flats. And if there's a flat where there's a marina in it on sunny days, then I'm going to work the edges of that marina with a jerkbait. And the good thing about it, in fall, you can move it more quickly, right? If it's winter, like the dead of winter, and it's really cold, you kind of like twitch, you know, count to 10, twitch, count to 10.
Super
twitch.
Slow.
Yeah, but when they're that active, you just throw it out there. You don't really have to, you know, wait too long. I've actually used them as like a crankbait, you know, and people... I don't think enough people talk about it. You know, I remember the first time I used it, I didn't have I was just kind of learning to do kayak fishing, and I really loved just the idea of fishing a jerkbait. And I didn't have my crankbaits with me. I left them. So I just used a jerkbait as a crankbait. And those things work really well as a crankbait. I don't think people talk about it enough, but I'm not going to banging them against bottom of the, you know, rock pile. I would do with a crankbait or a square bill, but I definitely, that's another thing. If I feel like the twitch thing is not working, then I'll give it a couple of tries just on a straight retrieval. And a lot of times I get a lot of bites. If they're really active, you would get bites on it. And like you said, once you found one on like, on flats leading up to coves and creeks, usually you'll find quite a few of them. It's not going to be just one bite. You keep throwing out there, you'll get a couple of more bites.
Yep. For sure. Great bait.
Yep. What's your number one bait?
Spinner bait. You know, it's not something I've thrown. It seems like the last two or three years I've gotten more. It's like I get more and more into a spinnerbait, but it's specifically like a three blade one, like the Accent Triple Shady. One that's got three small blades, because again, a lot of times in the fall I'm trying to mimic smaller bait fish because they were just born this year, so they're a little bit smaller. And just a spinnerbait. Spinnerbait usually just parallel in the bank, parallel in grass lines, things like that. Like I said, just covering water, trying to find places where they're grouped up. Now, I'll give another bit of juice here. If you see a bait ball, and this isn't 100% all the time, but if you see a bait ball on your graph and you have a good graph and it's dialed in, if you see a bait ball and it's just perfect, it's like, oh man, that's just the perfect bait ball right there. There's no bass on it. Because if it were perfect, nothing's going through it. Nothing's hitting them to make them break up. But if you see a bait ball that's all jacked up and maybe you see a streak or two in it, that's the ones you specifically want to target. If you just see some perfect ones, keep going, because there's no fish there or it wouldn't be perfect.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times when you see that bait ball, is their tendency is to go to move up the water column, like, because they're being attacked from the bottom by bass. They're going to be shading, and bass are going to try to corner them. Yep. And if there's no place to corner them, then they're going to try to corner them against the surface, right? And it's that thing where they come from behind and then they push it up. That's why you see a lot of, like, you know, on early in the morning. One thing that I love about going early in the morning is all of a sudden you will see this kind of like National Geographic style video, just like and prompt to just smacking of top water out of nowhere, especially against the shoreline or a bluff. And once you see that, you know it's game on. A lot of times here in Texas is maybe stripers or white bass.
Yeah.
But if you throw it deep enough, you might be able to get some of that bass that are feeding on the bottom of it. And it's like you said, you know, once you see on the graph that, like you said, that bait ball, and you see a couple of like orange marks like on the bottom of it, you know it's on. They're being hammered at that point.
That's right. Yeah. There's like almost no greater feeling as whenever you pull up on a, you know, your graph and you see a bunch of streaks to a bait ball. It's like, oh, I found it. Yeah.
Definitely. My number one bait, and should come as no surprise for those that listen to my podcast, you know how much I love a jackhammer, but I really feel like for whatever reason, golden shiners are just that pattern, the golden shiner pattern on, and I should have brought my tackle box up here to the office, but that one with the gold blade and that gold sparkle on the top of the skirt and then white on the bottom of the skirt, that just shines in fall for whatever reason. And that I'll usually be like going kind of like not getting into winter, but more like, you know, late October. I'll just use that more going into creeks and, you know, past some transition points where now I feel like those shads are moving more to creeks. And for whatever reason, again, that golden color just shines. I don't know why. I've heard a lot about it. I've tried it, and truth be told, it makes a difference. Right now, to me, more like the black and blue and the other one, the B-Light jackhammer, those were great. But when, you know, closer to winter, that golden shiner color just shines, man.
I agree. I don't know what it is about gold in the fall, but maybe just the water clarity. I don't know. Gold in the fall.
Yep. So did you mention your number one bait already?
Yeah, spinnerbait.
Spinnerbait. So let me ask you this. So when you are we touched on it a little bit. When you are fishing in fall bites versus in summer. Summer, I'm assuming you're going deep, right? You're looking more for offshore points
or main
and
lake.
Fishing deeps. Yeah.
Either main lake or I'm going moving water. I'm going way up a creek. One of the two.
And summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So now in fall, where do you target your bass?
I'm usually starting at the mouth of a, it depends on what part of the fall. Like if you have to, in the morning, if you have a hoodie on, I'm starting in the back and working out. If it's still warm enough to where you don't need one, then I'm starting at the mouth of a creek and working back.
Working up the creek, you mean?
Say what?
Up creek.
No, like I'm starting from the main lake going into the creek.
Yeah.
If it's still warm enough, I don't need a hoodie in the morning. Or if it's cold enough to wear in the fall where I do need a hoodie in the morning, I start in on a shallow flat. That's where I'll start and then work my way out if they're not there.
When you say work your way out, is to the main lake?
Yeah, back out towards secondary point and main points. Things.
And
like
the
that.
Reason for that, what do you do that for?
I think in the late fall, they're further back. And then the early fall, you know, whenever the transition from late summer to, you know, that September time frame, I think a lot of the meat is still main lake to first secondary points up in there. I don't think they've usually went all the way back. I mean, there's fish in every part of the lake all part of the year, but I mean like the main meat of the biosphere of bass. Is that what it's called? Biosphere? Or I'm thinking like biodome. Bio something.
I'll buy it.
It's bio something. The main, like, let's say the biggest percentage of bass are from main lake to secondary points in early fall. And then late fall, it's from secondary points to the back to a shallow flat.
Yeah. And the reason for that, for those out there that might be listening, and, you know, some of you might just be getting into bass fishing and still learning just like we all did. I feel like Chad, when it's really hot, you know, they're going to look for shade. And when it starts getting cooler, they're going to look for sunlight. You know, they're going to be looking more for like water that's going to stay at a steady temperature. That's obviously going to be move. That's why when we talk about that, that's what we're saying. When they're moving from the deeps up to the creeks as the season progresses, because now the water starts to get colder, the fish get more active, and then they start by the end, by winter, you know, depending on where you live, of course, they're going to be where, you know, the water temperatures are just going to stay more warmer.
And there's also a lot, and I wish I knew more about it. I'm no expert, but like the lake rolling over, thermocline, there's a lot of water where the oxygen is certain time of the year and into the fall, if it turns over, I don't understand all the science behind that. I know there's a lot to that. So I would say research that on your own.
Do you get a lot of lake turnover in the late winter?
I don't know. Like, I don't know what it looks like. I hear people talk about it, but I've never, you know, sometimes you can see like different, the water does look different at different depths on a graph.
Yeah.
So I know there's something going on there. I don't understand it. I mean, I just don't.
It's extremely hard to catch. Yeah,
I'm from Mississippi. I'm not very smart, I guess. I don't know.
It's very hard to catch them when the lake is turned over, man. Now, here in Texas, if it's a small lake, you know, it'll turn over. Bigger lakes, I really doubt it. You know, and I can give you an example of bigger lake. And I think some areas of a lake, like you get a big lake, like say, like for example, trying to think, Sam Rayburn. So Sam Rayburn, probably the whole lake's not going to turn over, but there may be coves or, you know, bays or some areas where the water might turn over, but not just the whole lake.
That'd be a great podcast. Just talk to somebody who understood thermocline and turnover and things like the actual lake, that'd be a good, interesting show. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely know more, like to know more about it. I don't, again, it's not something that really affects that much here in Texas. Depending who you ask, I really haven't seen it. I know I fished Grapevine 1 year when you can tell that, it definitely, some of the pockets were turning over just because the water, it hadn't rained. So I expect the water clarity to be clear, you know, not great, but, you know, good for that type of lake. And that water was super mucky. And it just had a lot of, you know, dead debris. Like when I say dead debris, I mean like leaves and twigs, like rotten stuff just yeah. at the surface. I'm like, that's weird. It hasn't even rained in the last couple of weeks. Why? Yeah.
I've seen that before too. I don't know why it happens or when it happens. I just know whenever I see that, I'm not fishing in that area.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the reason for what it is just like thermal climate, right? So the water that's warmer, it's going to come to the surface. So once the water, once, you know, we're getting closer to winter where the water's getting cold. So that top water is now sinking and that bottom water is now lifting. That's basically it, because the water on the bottom, now it's warmer than the water on the top. So yeah. It creates that. I have been, one of the first times I went on my kayak, I was at Lake Grapevine, and I saw something that I've never seen and I haven't seen since. So it kind of threw me off. And it was the dead of summer. It was going to be like, you know, close to 100. But I got to the lake early thinking, you know, I'll go fish early. Put my kayak on the wall and everything. Just when I was about to load, a rolling storm came through. Like, and it lasted from like 7 a.m. to like 10 a.m., right? So it was, you know, it was just raining, a lot of wind, a lot of rain. So I was like, I just stayed in the car for like 3 hours. Just because at this point, I was like, if I wouldn't have unloaded the kayak, I would have just gone home. Yeah. But at that point, I was like, I already unloaded. By the time this is done, I might as well fish. So I did. And while I was still fishing, it was still raining, but, you know, the thunderstorms had left. It was just rain. And once that rain completely left, it did. And all of a sudden, the sun was shining bright. It did something to that water where it's just like that mixture of like cold rain came down. Well, not cold rain, but, you know, rainwater that's a lot colder than what the surface of the lake is. And then when that sun came out blazing, it just created this thermal climate change and it pushed all the bait fish to the top. Mm. And that was been one of my best days on the water, because literally I had the next six cast, I was on fish. And literally after that, it was just like, even I would get a bite, even though it might have been a short strike or miss hook set or whatever. But it was like, I had literally had like 10 casts where it's just one after another. Like, doesn't matter what you throw it, they were going to bite it. And right. It was just at a flat. But it did something. And it's crazy because I've been in situations like that before where it's like hot summer and all of a sudden a storm comes through and I'm thinking, this is going to be awesome. And completely the opposite of what happened that day. Exact same conditions, but now for some reason the bite was just dead. So I don't know how that works, but I wish.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of that scientific type stuff, I'm never going to understand. Or some of the biology of the bass. Some people really get into that. That ain't my bag, man.
Yeah, that'd be nice to know. Go the whole Drew Gregory and be like a real steward encyclopedia of bass fishing. I'm always amazed every time I talk to Drew Gregory about bass fishing. It's like the knowledge that this guy has. Like, no wonder he doesn't need fancy equipment. I think I lost
a friend of mine, Lance.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. A friend of mine, Lance, I'm about to run my internet cable. I got it figured out how I'm going to do it because my internet seems like it's getting worse and worse. But my friend Lance, he's on the KFL team too. He's him and Drew, they're the same kind of guy, you know, super detailed, love all the biology and all that. And he just blows me away with his knowledge, you know?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing to me is you know, we talk about the electronics, the rods, the reel, the kayaks, 360 drive, live scope, all that. Biggest factor, and I think Drew's proved it, is your mind. You know,
yeah.
If your head is right and you know, and you can, you know, power through those, grind and stay focused, and that's the psychological part of it. Now, the knowledge part of it, like that interview I had with Drew Gregory about winning three different tournaments in three different lakes with three different species back to back to back. I mean, when he started talking, well, I fish for this type of bass, but that bass on that lake is this type of strain. So this type of strain, the bass don't get that big. So instead of going for that bass like everybody was doing, I was going for this type of bass, which means that bass was going to be on this side of the lake. And I'm like, holy crap. I mean, the fact that he has that knowledge on a little known lake that a kayak fishing tournament, national trail, has never been held before, and it's hundreds of miles away from, if not thousands, from where he actually lives.
Yeah.
It's like, that is amazing. That is amazing. Like, I struggle just to get intel on my local Grapevine Lake, which next door, or Lake Worth, which is like 5 minutes from here, or Arlington. But that guy, you know, the way that he just, it's just amazing, man. It's just, his biggest tool is his brain, his knowledge, just having that information and just focusing, you know, not letting get, you know, the knowledge, I go back to it, the knowledge and the psychological part of it, which is just staying true to your game plan, regardless of the grind or the struggles, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's it. Read a book instead of buying a life scope. That's my advice to you all listening. Read a book about bass fishing or go to the internet. But anyway, so I want to go over one of the things that I was talking to, like I said, Matt Souders and Brad Hicks. They are, like I mentioned, are river rats. And I wanted, since they couldn't come on, I asked them, you know, what are their top baits when we apply it to skinny bodies of water, like creeks and rivers, like they do. Matt was telling me that one of the things he loves to do is jackhammer, a crankbait, and a jig. And then once fall is almost at winter, then he goes for a net rig, which makes sense, you know. And then Brad, jerkbait, same as I do, net rig. And one that kind of surprised me, popper. And contrary to what you were saying, and maybe this is just because of it's on the river, but he actually likes to beef up his presentation. You were saying like you like going more for like, you know, small downsizing. Yeah. He's actually beefing up his baits. So he's using bigger swim baits. But again, he goes for like smallmouth. Like I was just reading the notes he gave me. Smallmouth diets change from cross in the summer to bait fish in the fall. So that's why he kind of like beefs up his swim baits. So good
knowledge. Swim bait, that would have been my number four. Just a single swim bait, like an Okashira or
like a glide bait, or a...
No, it's a Okashira. Yeah, a small little swim bait, like an Okashira. Oh, yeah, it's our little 3.8 Kytec, you know, 3.5 inch egg zone right there.
Yep.
Same thing. It's small swim baits, like the flashy swimmer with that little egg zone right there. Any like 3.5-4 inch swim bait with a flashy swimmer, that's kind of like a spinner bait, but that's awesome this time of the year. Underspins, any kind of small single swim bait deal is awesome.
Now let me ask you this, Dan. Do you get a lot of like rocky, no grass kind of lakes that you fish over there in your neck of the woods, or is just grass?
Yeah, we have Smith Lake and Logan Martin. They're both no grass kind of lakes.
What is the difference in, if any, when you are in fall, applying it to fall, transition fall season? Or would you be throwing at a rocky lake versus a grassy lake?
usually whenever I go to a Rocky Lake, it seems like I'm focusing more on any kind of cover. Like maybe if I'm on a regular lake, I'd be looking for more kind of bait fish or flats and things like that. It seems like whenever I go to more of a rocky lake, there's less, I'd probably be flipping more. I'd probably be more of a wacky rig under docks and a bait fish color or flipping some kind of white or like a silvery, sparkly, silvery kind of flipping a bait like that. Like I know Jason Christie is Christie Critter. And he goes to that, to the, it's like a sparkly kind of deal in the fall. That's what he throws. Usually some kind of, seems like Rocky Lakes, any kind of cover, especially isolated, to me, that's where I do the best.
Yeah.
Like if you have that one dock, you have like a bunch of docks and then no dock for 100 yards, one dock off on its own, like spend 20 minutes on that one dock because it's loaded up, you know?
Yeah, I agree. To me, when it's rocky lakes, then I maybe ditch I wouldn't ditch a jackhammer because I love that, but I would probably, if I want to pick a number four bait, you know, I would say a crankbait with, you know, shad color, golden shad. Yeah. It works really well. Just kind of banging. I don't have to worry about grass. You getting caught up or something like that. Cause you know, once the grass starts dying, it kind of gets clumped up. Yeah. And it's so on that one, I was just like, I would, you know, I'm going to tie up a crankbait with the shad color or electric shad color, golden shiner too.
That's a good point. I probably would throw more crankbait, like grinding kind of crankbaits on a rocky lake. Lipless would be more, you know, on some kind of grassy lake, especially if I can kind of rip it through the grass, let it take the bottom of the grass and then rip it up. But more like I'm pretty much Little John series, Spro Little John. I throw all those all year long. And like on Logan Martin earlier this year, two of the three fish I caught on that lake and I won that tournament were Little John MD. So yeah, more rocky lakes, I probably am going more crankbaits.
Yeah, for real. Definitely. And spooks. That's another one that I like to throw on rocky lakes, spooks. I don't know why. I've never, rocky lakes, especially on flats, I don't even bother throwing a popper frog or anything like that. To me, it's just spooks and just tend to be. I will use frogs towards the beginning of the fall season, but it's going to be on grassy lakes. It's not going to be on rocky lakes.
Yeah, I'd say like also too, on a rocky lake, probably my number five bait would be a buzz bait. I want a quarter ounce, but because I like the smaller profile in the fall, a quarter ounce buzz bait on a grassy lake. But if I'm not on a grassy lake, I'm probably throwing that like plopper 75, the small one.
Yeah,
I'm probably throwing that on and creeks too, but I'm probably throwing that on, you know, around a moving top water, I guess. That'd be my number five bait.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sounds solid baits, you know, you can't go wrong with that. Try to keep it simple. One thing that I've and this is kind of stemmed from your previous conversations you and I have, one thing that I started doing is you know, as you grow as an angler, you kind of mature, right? And when I mean that, I mean you mature in your knowledge and you don't get distracted with the flashiness of some new bait or something like that. Now granted, there are some that, you know, you'd be like, okay, this is new, I want to check it out. Hellraiser, not
real. Oh, I was about to say
Hellraiser from Z-Man. I would love to check that out. But one thing that I've kind of like made it a point lately is just kind of organize, you know, what my soft flats are going to be and just stay through to them instead of just buying, like, you know, I'll buy Ozone Hears and then Kitech or whatever, KVDs or Strikings, whatever it is. I've gotten to a point where, listen, I'm just going to focus on, you know, on a creature style soft plastic, cross style soft plastic, ribbon worm, Yamamoto's type Senko, you know, like a stick worm, and as far as soft plastics. And maybe for bedding season, spawning a salamander and maybe a brush hog. That's it. But I'm like, I'm done with trying to experiment with this or that, or just like, I'll find it. And I'm not going to say brands or anything like that. Because I'm not here to promote any brands, but like, that's it. You know, a beaver style, a cross style, a soft plastic swim paddle tail, a brush hog and a salamander. And I'm going to, and all of them, oh, and the Senkos, not necessarily Yamamoto Senkos, but just the Senkos in general. And that's it. Three colors, man. Just three colors. Yeah. The pumpkin, watermelon flake, the black and blue. And what's the other color that I like to do? Green pumpkin, black and blue, and I forgot the other color that I use. Forgot the name of it.
Watermelon,
yeah, I guess. I mostly, honestly, I just use, well, white. And, you know, for the swim baits, I'll go with white as well.
Pretty much all. That's it. If with X-Zone, I mean, not like I'm trying to sell X-Zone, but I throw, of almost all my baits, I have black and blue, a green pumpkin, but I carry some colors with me if I want, you know, spice it up a little bit.
Yep.
I'll put some kind of white and the 309, which is like, just more of a glimmer, a super, more of a translucent brim kind of color deal. That's my four colors that I carry. I mean, that's pretty much across everything. That's it.
Yeah, I forgot the other one, the red. So more of a red color, you know, like a cross style color. So cross style, green pumpkin, and black and blue, pretty much. And that's for like my creature baits. My craw baits is going to be same thing, you know, cross style, green pumpkin, and black and blue. Swim baits is just going to be shad, you know, pretty much like white golden shiner.
Electric shad.
Kind of like two or three, and that's it. Because I'm done with all the...
Smoke shad, electric shad, both those are good.
You know what I miss? The brush hogs with the... from Zoom, the...
African special.
Oh my god, those things were so good. They don't make them anymore.
I've never thrown that color, but I know some people love it.
So good.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It is amazing. I got the ribbon tail worms with it now. Mm. And again, this is, I know we're kind of going down on a rabbit hole here. We kind of forgot. We're not talking about fall baits, but just kind of like simplicity of just soft plastic. That's something I'm working on. Again, something I feel like, as I try to, you know, learn and keep growing as an angler, I think that's one of the things, just cutting, simplifying. I know what I like now. And all I need is about two or three colors of that for different occasions. And that's it. Maybe an outliner here and there for very specific, you know, like maybe bedding season and stuff like that. But that's pretty much it.
I like me, Tennessee River in the summer, there's like, some colors, you know, like plums and things like that, peanut butter and jelly, or that there might be every now and then there might be a different color that I carry, but I have sized down all my soft plastics. Like if everything I have, if it doesn't serve multiple purposes, I don't carry it anymore. Cause I've sized down every time I size my stuff down, both my baits and my soft plastics, the better I get, the more I win. So it just, I think for a lot of people, I mean, I'm not Drew Gregory, obviously. I don't carry that few things, but I think a lot of people would be surprised about how much I carry, because it's not much.
Yeah. And it's different taste for different folks, I guess. I know I mentioned a bunch of times, Rolando Nandin, who takes 16 rods with him. You should see his collection of like treasure trove of soft plastic is crazy. But in talking to him, you get a lot of knowledge. But yeah, he's one of those that loves, he loves to have his options on the water. He feels comfortable with it.
Who's that?
Rolando Nandin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he's, I mean, he's, the guy's really good at it. So there's, I mean, like I said, it doesn't mean you can go the Drew Gregory route and simplify it and have great success like Drew Gregory has, or you can go the Rolando Nandin route where he wants options. He feels comfortable with having a lot of options on the water, and you can tell Rolando Nandin is one of the best at it right now. Yeah. So,
like, I guess I mean more like especially with my soft plastics, if like, I'm trying to think of something that would be okay, like the Adrenaline Craw, which is like a Z Craw. It's just like a paddle tail kind of beaver deal that actually swims. I have that for swim baits. I have it, I could use it on jigs. I can use it on a buzz bait. I can use it on, like, it has to serve multiple purposes to be in my box. There is no plastic. Even my stick baits, I use them for either a wacky rig, a Nico rig. You know, at least there's at least two. I don't carry any soft plastic that can only do one thing. It just isn't worth me having it in the box anymore. I really try to think all that out of what bait I can use multiple ways to carry less things. I'd rather carry a fourth color than I would another bait.
That's true. I agree with that. How many rods do you carry with you on a tournament day?
It depends on what I'm doing. I can carry 12, but if I can put six, you know, in the Hobie Pro Angler 14, where, yeah, I have six rod holders, if I can just carry six, I feel like people are in trouble. Like, I'm on them, because I don't have to worry about anything sticking up, and I can go anywhere. I feel like I'm more streamlined. So six would be ideal. I know it sounds crazy. It even sounds crazy to me, because I used to never have less than 10, but I can carry seven on the box, six down, and then two other rod holders. So I can carry more than I want. But if I can carry six and have them horizontal, that's the deal.
You can, I've put up to 12 just horizontal, because those on the, you can put like, yeah, it's, I'm not gonna lie, it's to you, it's a little bit of mess.
Oh yeah.
And because if you do that, then you have to have, definitely have to have rod socks on them.
Yeah.
You can't just put them without the rod socks. If you're gonna have more than one on each hole, you know. But yeah, I've gone through like 12, like six and six on each side. And it's,
I have five that on my Yak Gadget crate. I have five that go up, and I have one on each side of the Yak Attack tether tubes where they're kind of on a 45.
Yeah.
So they still stay down pretty far, and I have that tether on there. So if I hit a tree, it can't pull them out of there. So I tether those two down, so I can carry eight that are pretty much all down. Six that are definitely all the way down, and two that are, I can get almost under everything, you know.
Yep. Yep. Well, that's pretty much it, folks. Not a long episode today. We kind of want to keep it light and just have a fun conversation. You know, sometimes bringing special guests, you have to prepare yourself. You have to figure out what you're going to talk about. It's not that it's stressful. You meet a lot of great people, don't get me wrong. But every now and then, I just like to have a buddy talk and just talk fishing with my buddy here, Dan, instead of just doing the whole interview process, which, again, that's, we, right, both love doing. We just, every now and then, we need a break from it, right?
Yeah. And the fall is fun. Just cover more water. You'll find them. That's it.
Yeah. What's your plan for the weekend? Fishing this weekend?
No. This weekend, next weekend's all family. And then we've got two games at home for KFL, but that's coming up before in a few weeks. But my friend's got a pond, and he needs some fish taken out of it, some bass. Ooh. And it's totally loaded up with bass, and it's a great time. So I think I'm going to go there and catch them. I usually don't keep bass, but I'll go catch it. They're trying to get like 200 out of the pond, So really? I'm going to go down there and catch a mess of them and clean them up for some friends. Yeah.
There you go. I mean, it's if it's like a private pond, I don't.
Yeah.
People can. I mean, I don't. I don't like to like get into the whole debate. Oh, you can't eat it. Dude, you can eat it. Who am I to say? Yeah, it is okay to eat a catfish. No, it's not. Nobody named me or anybody else for that matter the ethical guardian of what fish to eat or not. I would prefer not to eat bass. Yeah. I crave everybody eats one, but I'm not going to judge anyone. This is because I love the fish so much.
I don't keep them on a lake, but in this situation, he has to call them out because there's too many bass, so they can't get any bigger. So he wants to pull a bunch of them out. So in that case, they eat just fine. So I'll get them and clean them up for some friends, be a good friend, you know.
Definitely.
I get to have fun and catch them and do something for my friends. So that'd be good.
I'm definitely going to go fish tomorrow. Weather seems to be cooling down. So, but I have no idea where I want to go. Like, I have no idea.
Go to Fairfield, man. You live.
Fairfield. This is the thing. I have to buy. I thought about going to Fairfield, but I have to buy the state park pass or something. I don't know what Fairfield. It's up for sale too.
Really?
Yeah, it's up for sale. So whoever wants to buy it can buy and make like a
trophy lake. Yeah.
Yeah, trophy lake theme park out of it. I think kind of like Yamamoto style, like Gary Yamamoto, who owns a park here, ranch, and he has like 7 ponds. If you ever come, I've actually fished that. It's pretty good.
That's cool.
But I need to buy like a.
You just get a park pass for the day, right?
Yeah, I'm reading on it right now.
Man, I had so much fun there. If I lived anywhere near that lake, I'd be there all the time.
I've heard it's, I've never fished it, but I've heard it's really, really, really good.
That one day I was there, 24s came out that day. No, five 24s were caught that day. It's crazy.
I don't know, man. Going into a lake that I've never been before just at the last minute, I don't know. Maybe I will.
It's not very big.
Yeah, maybe I will. I'll let you know. I got to put some content out there, so we'll see.
There you go. Do it. Catch up, PB.
Anything else?
No, man.
All right. So for those out there listening, you made it this far. Thank you. Appreciate it. Hope you had fun with this episode. Go check out our sponsor, Douglas Rods. Go to douglasoutdoors.com. Check out the full lineup of rods and fly fishing rods. That's what I meant to say. And if you're going to be on the water, please wear your PFDs. If you're going to have a couple of beers, drink responsibly. Make it sure you make it back home to your loved ones.
And tip one for your homies.
There you go. They're going to be working that tomorrow. Tip one for you guys working tomorrow. Peace out, everyone.
Later.
Boom.